Good morning. Welcome, everybody. It's Sunday. So the Lord has been working on my heart this week from something that Pastor Gay said last week and on Tuesday. So I'm hearing an echo, so if I sound like I'm talking funny, I am. I'm accommodating. Pastor Gaylene talked about the servants not wearing shoes because they were servants. Who are we? Yes, we are children of God, and He will run undignified to us, but we are also His servants. And when we come into this building, those who are gathered, two or more, He is in the midst. So Moses at the burning bush was told, take off your shoes. You are on holy ground. This is holy ground, folks. We're here to worship. We're here to serve. Take off your shoes. I'm not kidding. Take off your shoes. Get ready to worship. Taking off our shoes in this country is undignified. Take them off. Get ready to worship. Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift this service to you. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in our servant hearts. Lord, have your way in our children hearts. Lord, we lift this worship to you. Lord, let your word be spoken and let your spirit visit here. You are welcome here. And we thank you for this day and this opportunity and freedom to worship you. Amen.
Mountain. to the room. Every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. Starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
Still believe. know, sometimes life is trying to tell us that we need to stop believing. Because the circumstances that we start to see with our natural eyes and the things that we start to experience with our hearts and our lives seems to contradict the truth that we know about God. But the song reminds us that we need to still believe. I've been in situations in my life where someone looking from the outside could say, "Where is your God? I thought you were a believer. Why are you going through this?" Kind of like Job's wife. Just curse God and die. Just say you're done with this stuff. And like Job, I said in my heart back to them, "Can I not receive the bad with the good?" I was telling somebody the other day that how could we even know God's goodness unless we experience bad? How could we even know the greatness of God unless we were in the pits sometimes? I believe the pits are given to us in life so that we can enjoy the fruit. The pits are for the seeds of greatness to come into our lives. Lord, we choose to continue to believe that you are wonderful. Lord, we choose to continue to believe, no matter what we see with our natural eyes, that you are powerful. And most of all, Lord, you have never given up on us. Sometimes, Lord, in our hearts, we give up on you, Lord, but you never, never have given up on us. You've never left us. You've never forsaken us. You've never abandoned us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we can keep our full reliance and trust in you, even though the world may say, "Where is your God?" Let's do that chorus one more time. I still believe.
Because I still believe. Through it all, I still
that reality, God, ring real in our lives. Let it be a reality to us, Lord, that you are with us all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll take some time, greet someone. We'll be back in a few minutes. Yay, we're going to go ahead and do today's declaration. We're going to do it over the city, over the valley. I know we say this a lot, but your voice, your declaration has power. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. And so we're going to speak life. We're going to believe that the words that we speak are not just mere words that are going into the air, but that they're powerful and that they'll accomplish what we desire the Lord to do and what he wants to do in our valley. Amen? Amen. All right, on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city would have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, and you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this valley. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for every heart and every life, Lord, that's represented in this valley. And Lord, we know that they are your children, Lord, even though the ones who have never been told don't know it. Lord, we pray that there would be an awakening, Lord, in those that haven't heard the good news, or that have heard the good news and haven't had a heart to receive. Lord, we pray that there would be, Lord, individuals in the coming days, weeks, months, and years, Lord, that would come to the knowledge and the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray right now that you would just open up the windows of heaven over the Yakima Valley and pour out a blessing, Lord, that we cannot contain, Lord, that it would spill over, Lord, into other valleys and other places in this state, Lord, that the souls, Lord, that you desire to come into the kingdom, Lord, would come in. And Lord, we pray that every obstacle, every barrier, every hindrance, Lord, that's been set up by the enemy, every veil, every scale that is on people's lives and hearts, Lord, would be removed, and that you would allow the glorious gospel to shine bright in those hearts. Lord, that they would be able to receive the truth, and the truth would make them free. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, the second, only have two announcements. Second Saturday of every month, we have the men's breakfast. And so I encourage you to put that on your calendar. Not sure what date that is this month. My watch is going, oh, yes. And I have three announcements. And we have a breakfast. We have a word downstairs. April 12th. So please join us for that men's breakfast. And then I also want to say thank you for giving. Thank you for pouring your hard-earned money and tithes and offerings into this house to help keep the lights on and help us to continue to be who God's called us to be in this valley. Amen. You can give online, you can give up front in the back. And then I wanted to find out, first of all, let you know that Valencia had to head to Arizona. Her aunt died. And so she's asked us to pray for her and pray for her family. So, Lord, we do. We lift Valencia, Father, to you right now. We pray that you give her traveling mercies, God, as she drives. Keep her safe and protect her, Lord. We pray, God, that as she goes back there and is with her family, Lord, that she is truth, that she communicates your truth, and that she conveys your love, Lord, to those ones who have lost this loved one. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just meet all of her needs along this traveling time and according to your riches and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. If anyone would be willing to help her with her travel expenses, please come and see me after service, and I'll tell you how to do that. Okay? Praise the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and have Debbie and Patrick come up now. This is their last Sunday with us, and Debbie's asked, and we're going to, of course, pray over them and bless them. They've been here for a couple of years now, and Patrick feels called to Yakima City instead of the valley in general. So we want to honor that. And would you come up, Gay? And Eric, would you come up? And we're going to lay hands on them and just believe that God has a place for them where they can be plugged in, where they can grow, and they can fully mature into who God wants them to be. Father, we thank you for these lives, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this couple, Lord. I thank you, God, that you have called them for such a time as this. And, Lord, that there is a place, Lord, that you have for them. God, I pray that you would open up that door in their hearts, Lord, to receive, Lord, and that you would allow them, Lord, to find that place, Lord, where they can be fed, where they can be nourished, God, and where they can grow in you. And I pray, Lord, that the desires and the dreams that are in their hearts would be fulfilled. You would give them your strength, and you'd give them, Lord, your grace, and that the Holy Spirit would guide and lead and direct every step they take. In Jesus' name, we bless them. Amen.
All right. Good morning. So I got a word in my heart. This is a word that I've been communicating. Nancy and I have been communicating with our youth the last few weeks. And, you know, I think it's obviously every word that God lays on our hearts is a pivotal word for that time. Right. And so I think there's this thought, though, since I've been a Christian now 20 years this year, I got convicted, and when I received Jesus, when I went to the altar, there was this thing that was stirred up in me that if I'm really going to do this, I really need to do this. And from the beginning, I just had this conviction. It's the best word I can use to describe, where it's like, either I'm all in or I'm not. Either I'm going after it or I'm not, right? And it wasn't like this, it wasn't like this Saul to Paul situation in my life necessarily. It was a process. But even like me joining youth ministry when I was in my early 20s, my motivation to joining the youth ministry is I looked at the youth ministry and I said, there are some things wrong in that youth ministry. Eric Lopez is going to go in there and fix it, right? I'd been saved 2 days, and that's what I thought. But my motivation changed, right, over time. Then I fell in love with the younger generation. But my point in saying all that is that there is just this fire that arose inside of me, and I think that if we don't tend to the fire from time to time, we can lie dormant in our faith, and it can be, you know, we can feel like we have our faith intact. We can feel like we have our faith a blazing, burning for Jesus because we're remembering the glory days, if you will, right? We're remembering that time where I was, I had this passionate moment with the Lord, and I went to the altar, or maybe I went to a conference, or maybe I went to a retreat, or I went to the thing, right? And I just got back from the Dream Center. I took a group of teenagers to the Dream Center down in LA. And we did a whole week of serving, and it's you know, all those kids, including myself, we come back and we're like ready to go, right? We just got done serving and all distractions set aside, like that's all we were doing. So we come back, we're like, we want to change the world. And it's easy to feel that when you're coming from a mountaintop experience. What's harder to do is when you're living day to day in the mundane, right? And you have the amazing experience, but then Monday comes and you have to go back to reality, right? And you have to just clock in, live your normal life, right? You got to go home. You still got to do laundry, right? You got to go home. You still got to wipe your kid's butt from time to time, right? You still got to go home and just live life. Right? In those moments, how is that flame in your life still being tended to? How is that flame in your life still burning for God? Are you just burning at the altar when we have pretty music playing? Are you burning Monday through Saturday? Amen. Let me pray and then we'll jump into this. God, we thank you so much for your glory. We thank you so much for your fire. And I just pray, Lord, today, Lord, that you would speak through me. God, I thank you, Lord, for the work you've already been doing, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this house. And I just pray a blessing, Lord, over every single person here, God, including myself. I pray, Jesus, that your spirit would just rest on us this morning. And I thank you, God, for your glory and your beauty. In Jesus' name, amen. I titled this message, On Fire. Let me start by saying this. We are not to be mere candles easily put out by the slightest breeze, but rather a blazing fire for God that burns hotter and hotter, setting everything it touches ablaze. If you think about this word picture, I got this word picture from a book that I'm listening to. And I can't remember the title right now, but essentially it's not talking about a fire for God. It's just talking about raising this generation, this young generation, and how essentially in this generation, if we're not careful, we could be raising candles that would be blown out by any little gust of wind that would come through, and instead, what we should be raising is people, individuals that are a blazing fire. And I that was the beginning of the book, and I listened. I was like, wow, like that is our faith. Like that should be our faith, right? And every one of us, when we said yes to Jesus, there was a spark that happened, and there was a candle that was lit, if you will. And yes, during that time, any gust of wind, any little gust of wind that would come in, could potentially blow your faith out, right? But God is in the process and desires for that fire to grow in such a deep way that no gust of wind can blow it out. Like that's the fire that he desires for us, right? And so, like I mentioned 2 weeks ago now, I took a couple teens down to LA and we served at the Dream Center. If you don't know what the Dream Center is, it's this amazing organization. They've been doing this for 40 years. They serve the community down there in LA. They serve the impoverished. They serve the homeless down there. The LA fires that happened, they became a hub for the LA fires for people to come and get resources from them. And they do some really amazing things. And it was really, really cool. But one of the things we did outside of serving, we had some free time. And so I told the boys that I was with, I said, hey, you like figure out what we want to do like during our free time. And so they're all of them actually are soccer players. And they're like, let's go to a LA Galaxy soccer match, which I've learned it's not called a game. It's called a match. And so let's go to a soccer match. And I'm like, whatever. I don't care. Cool. Let's go. Right. So one of the boys, he's one of our youth students as well. His name's Logan. I let him just organize it all. You know, you find whatever you need to find. We'll send you the money. Let's make it happen. Well, we get there. And again, my first experience, I've been to NFL games. I've been to an NBA game. And I've never been to a soccer match though. So I have no idea what I'm walking into, but I think I have a grid of what I'm walking into. And so we get there, you know, there's vendors outside, you know, we buy some gear and we get there. And what I hadn't realized is that where Logan picked our seats is he picked us, I don't know what it's called, but basically it's a cheering section. Okay. And so there's like the main like side sections, and obviously the box seats. And then there's this cheering section. It's behind one of the goals. And there's, it's probably, if I could guess, like 200, 300 seats available. But the way they have the seats, they have the seats in a way where it's not necessarily made for sitting. Like if you get these seats, like you're not going to be sitting. Like they have it so like there's a metal part and the seat folds down, but it's mainly like they made that section for you to stand. And so the game hadn't even started yet. And these people start going, and all of a sudden there's these chants happening, and there's drums being played, and this is local LA fans. Like they know all the songs, they know every. They're excited, right? They're going, and this is the match hasn't started yet, mind you, right? And so they're going, and I'm thinking, because again, I've been to a Seahawks game. I know how it goes, right? We are excited, but really we're not only cheering when something happens, right? We're cheering when there's a touchdown. We're cheering when there's a pass made. We're cheering when there's a sack, right? We're cheering when we're on defense, right? We're trying to be the distraction, right, for the opposing team. We're not just cheering though, right? There are times where we're settled down. So I'm thinking, okay, after a while it's gonna die down, right? We're gonna calm down. And then the game's gonna start, the match is gonna start, and we'll cheer again when something happens. That did not happen. Okay, and I'm not exaggerating, I'm not just fabricating the story for illustration. For 45 minutes, nonstop, we went through rotations of song after song, of dance after dance, of cheer. At one point, I felt like I was at the church of soccer. Here's why. They even had us, because there's guys, like this is their job. There's guys on these stands facing us, and they're the one with bullhorns. They're the ones telling us what the next cheer is. And they're like, everybody put your hands up. And so literally 150, 200 of us are standing behind a goal like this. I was at the church of soccer. Okay, we're like this, and they start doing their cheer and they start doing their chant. I didn't know what they were saying half the time because they were in Spanish, but I did have some interpreters, so I'd ask them what they were saying. So I was like, are they cussing? Are they not? What are we saying? So so my point is that there was a fire, if you will, about the LA Galaxy. There was a fire about what they were doing or what, you know, they were excited about their team, right? And one time or another, I believe that most of us in the room have felt that excitement, have felt that fire. But what happens over time is that the excitement kind of dies down and it becomes normal, and it, you know, to a certain degree we become complacent, and before we know it, that fire that we felt last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 30 years ago is kind of just a thing that we do, right? And we show up and we know the routine and so forth. But I'm here to tell you guys that God wants a blazing fire. God wants a blazing fire. And not only does God want that, but our world desperately needs us to have a blazing fire inside of us. Your families need you to have a blazing fire. Your marriage needs you to have a blazing fire. If you think for a second that your spouse's fire is going to get you through, you're sadly mistaken, because that'll get you through for a little bit. But the fact of the matter is that a blazing fire needs to be in each and every one of us. So my first point is this. Fire is hot, no doubt, but fire is hot. The closer you get to fire, the more intense the heat gets. My family, this last Father's Day, because I'm at that age where I'm getting like real dad gifts, which is great. I love it. And they got me this this smokeless fire pit. And it's like all metal. It's stainless steel. It's beautiful. It's great. I'm so excited. Every time I see it, I'm so excited. Every time we get to use it, I'm so excited. I make it a whole family event. My kids are like, okay, yes. But I'm like, we're going to get marshmallows. We're going to, you know, one time we had leftover pizza. I was like, I wonder if I could heat up a pizza over it. Like, it's really exciting. But this thing is that it lets, once the fire gets going, right? Not at first, but once the fire actually starts going, this thing radiates a lot of heat for this little fire pit. I mean, you don't have to get very close to it for you to feel the heat. When a believer is on fire, right? When a believer is blazing for the Lord, okay? You could feel the heat off of them. You could feel, you get around them and you just know there's something different about them, right? This is absolutely the calling on us as believers, our lives. Like, your coworkers absolutely should get a sense that there's something different about you, right? Your extended family should absolutely feel a difference when they're around you, right? In Romans 12, 9 through 13 says it this way. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Verse 12, I want to highlight that for a second. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. What is that? That is, when I'm on fire, affliction doesn't define me. Right? It's just like Pastor was saying a minute ago, right? Like, there's hardships in life, but hardships don't have to define you, right? Sickness doesn't have to define you. Ailments don't have to define you. As a believer, someone who gets on fire, what happens is that, yes, you face affliction just like everybody else, but you respond to it very different. Why? Because you have a hope in God. The only difference between us, the major X factor between us and the rest of the world is that we have the hope of glory. We have a faith in a Jesus and a Savior that came and died for you and I, that came and took every affliction on the cross. It doesn't mean that my struggles are any different. It doesn't mean that I don't face, relationship breakdowns. It doesn't mean that I don't face a financial issue. It doesn't mean that I don't have my car breakdown. It doesn't mean any of that. What it does mean, though, is that when life happens, because there's a blazing fire inside of me, I then respond to it much different. Amen. You could feel the heat, right, off of this. My second point, fire produces smoke. Smoke equals evidence. Let me ask a question. Is there evidence of your life? Is there evidence of your fire for God coming off of you? And not just the fire around you, right? not just the fire that's coming off of your friends, or fire that's coming off of your spouse, or fire that's coming off of your church fellow churchgoers, but is there smoke coming off of you? Galatians 5:13 through 26, it's a common verse that we've heard many a times. Verse 13 starts this way. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." And this is the one where we all mostly commonly know, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. But the fruit of the Spirit, is there evidence in your life? Is there evidence in your life? Is there fruit coming off of you, right? You know, we years ago, Nancy and I and our family, we went to a large church, and we went to a church. I don't know what's considered a mega church, but you know, it was definitely headed that way. And from Sunday to Sunday, day after day, we got to experience some of the greatest worship, I would say, in the nation, on the planet even, and sit under some amazing fathers and mothers of the faith. And in that environment, it was really easy to feel like we were on fire. In that environment, you couldn't have convinced me otherwise. And in that environment, there were many people that we knew that went in and out of those doors that felt like there was a blaze happening in their life. But at the same time, we knew people that left that environment and they weren't on fire at all. And they left the faith. And they chose to live a different life. It's really easy. It's super easy to have, again, like that mountaintop experience, or have that altar experience, or have the worship team, they just played my favorite song, right? And I have all the goosebumps and I feel something different, right? But what happens when just life hits you? What happens when you hit the bumps in the road? What happens when you're not in the feels? Right? Is your fire still burning? Is there smoke coming off of you? Is there fruit being produced in your life? And I say this with a humble heart, because this is something I'm asking myself on the daily. On the daily, there's the, you know, people that I get around or situations that I experience where I'm like, man, I don't think I produced any fruit in that, or showed at all by how I responded or reacted to that situation, that I actually am a believer, right? I don't, and it might not even been something I said. It could have been something I thought. It could have been something that was just here that nobody had to see. My wife says that I have like captions, right? Like subtitles with my face. I think I can hide it, but I guess I can't. But here's the thing is that we have to understand that there as believers, okay, as believers, this fire that's inside of us, there needs to be smoke being produced. That's so good. Evidence. That's right. Don't be fooled by secondhand smoke. Don't think for a second that because there's smoke around you that smoke's coming off of you. Wow. Third point is this: fire is not easily put out. A strong fire can withstand gallons and gallons of water. A strong fire, actually uses the wind as more fuel to burn hotter. A wind that would easily put out a candle. A gust that would easily just blow a candle out. What has your flame been put out in the past? And we all know this. We all know our shortcomings. We know our weaknesses. We know the things that God is, or that not God, but the enemy is challenging and tempting us with. We know those things, right? But if we know those things, if we know the gusts, if you will, that come in and try to take out our flame, what are we doing to protect that flame? What are we doing to make sure that our flame is so strong that that gust cannot take it out? What are we doing today that is protecting the flame? Ephesians 4:14 says this, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ." Amen. I have this this conviction, I have this thought that I really, really believe that God loves process. Yeah. Also, it's not my favorite attribute about God. Okay, I believe this, that God loves process so much, and I'm not always a fan of the process. Okay, and I've used this example before, so forgive me for repeating myself. But I mean, you look at how we even come into this earth, right? We come into this earth as these little babies that offer nothing to society. We're just these little blobs of flesh that poop and eat and cry, and that's all. And we can't even walk. We can't do anything for a while. But then, eventually, over time, we start moving around. We start crawling, right? We start walking, and there's this process. And then we continue to go through a process, and we continue to become more independent, right? And we continue to, even when we feel like we have it all figured out, we don't, and there's still more process, right? I believe that there is a process that God has for us in our faith that is taking us from a little flame to a greater flame. And the process is rarely fun, right? But if we look at where we were, if we're doing this right and we're continuing to grow and we're leaning into God and we're, like the verbiage my wife uses is forehead to forehead with Jesus, you know, that we are growing and we're able to look back and say, I have not arrived, nor will I ever, but I have not arrived, but I'm a lot closer than I was, yeah. Right? I have not gotten to the Holy Land, but I'm a lot closer than I was. The wilderness is a lot further behind me, right? And I don't know who that word is for, but here's the thing is that you may still feel like there's some lingerings of the wilderness, but as you've gone closer to God, that wilderness is a lot further in the rearview mirror. And that's the good news. That's the good news, right? Is that I, Eric Lopez, don't have it all figured out, but I'm a lot better than I was at 19. Amen, Dance, right? Like I don't have it all figured out as a husband, as a dad, as a pastor, as a teacher who let me teach kids. I don't know, but that's what I'm doing, right? I don't have it figured out. But as I, and this is the important part, don't miss this, as we lean into God, don't think that you're gonna magically wake up one day and be closer to God. You're not gonna wake up one day and just desire to read your word. You're not going to wake up one day and have a desire to pray. How this becomes a passion is that you just start doing it. You just start doing it. When do I start? Where do I start? Just read something. I tell my kids, or youth kids, all the time, there's zero excuse for any of us to not read our Bible, right? And I promise you one day I'm going to be sponsored by the YouVersion app and they're going to start sending me checks, okay? Because I promote the YouVersion app endlessly, tirelessly. I believe in a physical Bible. I think everybody should have a physical Bible. But right now, all of us have a phone, right? And there, even if you don't have the YouVersion app, you can Google a verse. But the YouVersion app literally makes 3-day reading plans that take 2 minutes to do. Right? And so there's not going to be this magical moment where you're just like, yes, you're going to, as you grow in this, there's going to be a hunger, right? But whether you know it or not, your spirit is hungry for something. You're just feeding it something else. Yeah. And the reason why you continue to feel empty is because the thing that it needs is more of God. The thing that it needs is more, that fire needs to be stirred up a little bit more. Yeah. Right? And you continue to feed it other things because I'm just exhausted from the day, or I'm just exhausted from life. And so I just escape and I put on more TV, right? Or I put on more Netflix, or I put on more time in my phone, but then you still feel empty because the thing that you wanted, it's like eating empty carbs. It tastes good for a second, but it doesn't actually do anything for you. Right? Is that correct? Okay, cool. And so we have to understand this, is that if you want your fire to grow, you have to lean in. You have to lean in. If you're content with where you are, then that's kind of another conversation. But know this, is that God desires for you to get closer and closer and closer. They're never going to get to a day where it's like, I'm close enough to God. This is good. Where we're at, we're good. No, there's a depthness to God that's never ending. There's a vastness to God that we can never reach.
That's right.
My fourth and final point is this. Fire is consuming. Fire is consuming. Hebrews 12:28-29 says this. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with the reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. A consuming fire. When was the last time you felt consumed by God? When was the last time you felt that there was a consumption where God was just overtaking? And it's this illustration that I heard years ago. Me and my wife heard years ago, and it's this with every step I take, I have Him in mind, and it's like if Holy Spirit, right? When Holy Spirit came on Jesus, it says that it came on Him like a dove, right? Was it a little dove? I don't know, but it came in on Him like a dove. And if you've seen birds like that, if you've seen doves, if you've seen pigeons, anything like that, what happens? As soon as you walk towards them, they fly away. So if I have a dove that is quite literally on my shoulder and I don't want it to leave, every step I take is going to be with the dove in mind. Every step, everything I do, every turn I make, every step I take, every door I open, it's going to make, if I want that dove to stay, I'm going to make sure that I do it very carefully. When the being consumed by God is that I don't want anything else to be consumed. I don't want anything else consuming me but God, making sure that every step I take, every thought I have, every word I take, it's consumed by God. And I'm actually holding every thought captive. I'm actually making sure that I'm mincing my words, making sure that I'm speaking life instead of death, not just over people, but over situations, over myself, right? Over my job, over my school, over everything. Because I'm consumed by Him. Again, let me say this so humbly. This is something I still walk through. This is something that I still have to be challenged on when we're facing a situation or we're facing a circumstance. And I'm like, my logical brain, because I can work in very practical ways, is yes, I very much see the giants. I very much see the mountains, and they seem impossible. And sometimes I need a reminder that we serve a God of impossibilities. We serve a God that when I'm consumed by Him, right, it's not me. It's not me that's doing it. It's Him that's doing it. But I link arms with Him, and He's saying, come on, son, we're going to get through this. And it's going to be bumpy, and it's not always going to be fun. But at the end of this, you're going to look in your rearview mirror, and you're going to say, wow, we did it. Yeah. We did it because I'm consumed by You,
yeah.
Right? When was the last time we felt consumed by God, where He took over every aspect of your life? Because here's the thing, when you're consumed by God, there isn't room for anything else. Yeah. when you're consumed by God, there's no room. And we have to sometimes step back and see, what is my life consumed by? Because too often what Christians try to do is we just try to fit more stuff in. And with the more stuff includes God. So our life is already consumed by something. And we're like, oh yeah, like I have a job and I have family and I have, you know, house projects to do and I have a car, you know, a car to pay for and I have vacations to plan. And you're so consumed and you're like, oh, I got to be a Christian too. Where's some space for Christianity to come into the mix? Okay, Sundays, perfect. I'll just chop out this part for Jesus, but the rest of it, you know, I'll be good if I could just make it this little part. When the reality of it is that all of it should be consumed by Jesus, and we then fit in our life. Right? It's a simple illustration. I know I'm not the first person to say that, but I think that we need to be reminded of what is our life actually being consumed by? And have we put God at the center? Or is God just fitting in somewhere that is convenient for us? Because, well, it's hard to be a Christian out in this world, because it is, and it never was meant to be easy. And if we think for a second that this Christian life was meant to be easy, it's just not. We're sadly mistaken. We are going to face trials. It's promised to us. We are going to face tribulation. We are going to face things. But again, like I said at the beginning, the difference between us and the rest of the world is that we have the hope of glory. We have the hope of God. Right? We have a consuming fire. And when we become on fire, our situations then get consumed by the fire of God. Right? Those broken relationships, they get consumed by God. Right? That financial stuff, it gets consumed by God. We have to lean in, though. We have to lean in. So I want to pray for you guys. Pray for us all and pray that as we continue growing. And that today, here's my challenge, if you will, that we would make a decision today. A decision that we would look at where the fire is in our life, where the level is, if you will, and tomorrow, Monday, when we're back to reality, when we're back to just life, mundane life, what am I doing? How am I feeding this fire? How am I growing in my faith? Maybe it's, hey, I haven't read my word in 2 years. I don't even know where my Bible is in my house. I'm going to go read a little bit. I don't know the last time I prayed. Outside of praying for my meal, outside of praying, you know, sometime during church, I'm going to take some time and I'm going to pray today. I'm going to set a 1 minute timer because my life is so busy. Set a 1 minute timer. I'm going to pray right before I go into work. I'm going to pray, right? I'm going to start a Bible study with my wife or with my husband. I'm going to start a Bible study with that Christian coworker that I have. Whatever that thing is, I can't tell you what that is. All I know is this, is that what I can tell you is that there is a level up that God wants us to go in our fire. And if it's a little candle, that's fine. We can work with that, right? If it's a little bit bigger, great. We can work with that. Even if it's just some coals that are still hot, God can stir that up and make it a fire. He can stir it up. But again, it's not going to magically happen. The fire of God doesn't just magically happen, right? There's perseverance that takes place. There's pressing in that takes place. There's going at it even when it's inconvenient. It's going at it even when you don't feel like it. It's going at it even when it seems impossible. I'm reminded right now of the story of Moses and when he's the one that's used to free the children of Israel, right? The presence of God was so present with him and the children of Israel because there was a pressing in. And if you read that story, this isn't a man of confidence. This isn't a man that had all the answers. This was a man that actually refused the mission at first and tried to make a bunch of excuses, but God still used him. God still used him. And Moses continued to press in, right? And he continued to be used by God. And he saw literal fire of God show up. He saw literal God, like provision from heaven show up. And that was with a bunch of complainers, a bunch of whiners, which we can be, which I can be, right? And if God can do that, then that's the same God we serve today. The God of Moses is still the God here for us. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you, God, for your fire. I just pray right now, Lord, for your children, for your sons, for your daughters, God, wherever they are in their journey, God, right now, I just pray, Lord, for a fire to raise up in them, God. Lord, a fire that's blazing so hot, God, that those around them, Lord, will notice something different, God. A fire, God, that glorifies you, Lord. A fire, Lord, that's not full of pride, that's not full of arrogance, but a fire that is humble. A fire that is full of love. A fire that's full of patience. A fire, God, that just looks so different and that cannot be put out or distinguished, God, by anything, Lord. God, we thank you, Father, for your fire. We thank you, Father, for your fire, for your blaze that you are putting inside of us. Let us burn for you, God. Let our hearts burn for you, God. Let there be no thing, no circumstance, no situation, Lord, that would dampen our fire for you, God. I pray for the young ones in the room, God. I pray, Lord, that as they're just in this environment, God, Lord, the embers are getting on them, Lord, and that there's fires rising up in them today, Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, for those who are new to their faith, God, that you would continue to stir them up. For Lord, those who've been at it for a while, God, that there would be zero complacency in their fire. There'd be a fresh fire this morning, God. We just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're all consuming. Let us be consumed by your glory. Let us be consumed by your goodness in this place. Yeah, we just thank you for this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
about you guys, but I feel like a pressing in the room, like this weightiness, like God isn't done yet. And so I just really want to invite you guys, like if you're feeling this stirring, like that was a great word. Can we just say, come on? Come on. That was a great word. Like if you guys want more fire, if you guys want to be stirred up, even if you are already a raging fire, but you want the more of God, I want to invite you to come up in this place right now. Like there's no shame if you're a little candle or even coals, or if you just want that more, I want to invite you to come up and grab that more, because there's a partnership to be done right now. You can stand in your seat and God's still going to touch you. He's still going to drench you if you allow him to, but there is something about taking an active participant in the things that God is doing in you. If you feel that stirring and you want that more, come on. I want to invite you up in this place because God is moving right now. God is moving right now and he wants to touch you. He wants to give you what he has to impart to you. So if you're feeling it, don't worry about who's on your right or your left. Just come up here. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. We just pray, God, that you would be in this place right now. God, that you'd begin to touch each and every one of these individuals with your fire, Lord. Begin to stir up every coal in this place, God, and reignite what needs to be ignited, Father, that you would pour your spirit out in the name of Jesus. God, that people would leave here transformed and not the same that they walked in with, God. That whatever it is that they came in with, Lord, would just begin to, whatever distractions, whatever things that says that they're not enough, that those things would begin to fall off right now in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
tremble at the light that you bring when you walk into the room. Every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
Just give this to you. I just want to sing sing the chorus one more time. But I want us, maybe you lead us with the music, but then stop it. I want our voices just to do the rest, okay? And that's how we're going to end this. We're just going to give him all the glory and remind the enemy of who God is to us and who we are in him. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen.
We love you. We'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
One more time.
We love you. We'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
Yes, God, all this is for you.
Yes.
Every single bit, every drop of everything that's been just laid down today, God, we give it to you. And we allow for you to turn those ashes into beauty, God. And I thank you, Father, that you make our burdens light and our yoke easy, or however it goes. I always mix it up. But Father, you know. God, I thank you that you have stirred us up and that you'll continue to do so. Lord, we give you permission to be at the forefront of every decision we make this week, God. We give you permission to give us divine appointments to be able to radiate our heat, God, and be able to spread your fire in the name of Jesus. God, that you would give each and every one of us the zeal and the tenacity, the boldness, God, to be able to step out in faith this week, giving testimony of who you are. We glorify you. We say holy, holy, holy. Amen, amen, amen. Love you guys.